Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is November 7th, 2015. My name is Matt, your host, and we're going to be here live for the next 58 minutes. And again, as always, I'm excited and I'm stoked to be here today. We have a lot going on. If you want to make contact with us, which you probably will in the studio here today, you can call 254-773-1400. 254-773-1400. Emails, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or go directly to our website at aaronsgunshop.com. That's AARONS gunshop.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible special effective now. It's going on now. All guns at the Aaron's Gun Shop Gallery of Gun page on my website, aaronsgunshop.com, will be at cost. That's right. No matter the cost, you pay only wholesale shipping tax and the handling charge of $30 per gun. Whether the gun is $200 or $2,000, all you pay is what it costs me plus the $30 handling charge. Now is the time to buy for Christmas. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, click on the Gallery of Gun page, and do your gun search for almost anything you're interested in. If it's there and in stock, you can purchase it online and pick it up at Aaron's Gun Shop in Cameron. Now, the final balance must be paid in either cash or check. No credit or debit cards will be accepted as the final payment. Tell all your friends about this, because any gun on my Gallery of Gun page is at cost plus a $30 handling per gun. People have been calling me up a lot on this, and I've been explaining it to them, and you need to check it out fast. Some of your favorite guns may not be available the closer we get to Christmas. So now's the time to buy. Hurry before supplies of your favorite gun run out. That's aaronsgunshop.com, Gallery of Gun page. With that, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go over the highlights of what's coming up on this show. It's going to be a good one. Today, our CHL segment will discuss a commonly asked question. Can I carry a concealed weapon at work? And depending if you're a customer or an employee, it will determine the answer to that question. Now, once again, I will take three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizen column and read them to learn and glean any information we can from them, and I will make my usual critiques and comments. Then at about 12:45, I will have on with me a very special guest, Lenny McGill. I've been watching Lenny McGill for years and have studied his techniques when it comes to concealed carry. And today I'll be asking Lenny questions covering the topic and many other ones as well. So that's going to be really good. Get pencil, paper ready. And again, the number, 254-773-1400. Be ready to call up. I'm sure Lenny would love to hear from you. My product spotlight will be a lovely, delicious AR pistol, manufactured by our friends at Blackjack Firearms, and I'm happy to say that I was able to get John in studio. We'll be talking to him about quarter past the hour, about 1:15 or so. We'll be talking to John, and he'll be showing us what he's got in product, and we'll be doing a gun demo with him as well. The gun training demo will be related to the products that John will be showing from Blackjack Firearms, so you definitely need to take a listen, and hopefully if we're streaming live, you'll be able to see it live as we do it. Now, of course, if time permits, maybe we'll do another tango, a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot story. And people love to hear those. A lot of crazy stuff going out there. So, without wasting any more precious time, get your pens and paper ready and notes, because we're going to be going right into our CHL segment of the class. I am a certified instructor for the state of Texas to teach concealed carry. And come January 1st, it'll be licensed to carry, not concealed carry. And so, with that, until that time, I have been asked this question many a times. Can I carry at work with a concealed handgun? And my answer is quick, without hesitation, and clear. And that answer is, I don't know. Why don't I know? Because you have to be very clear as to the details so I can answer you correctly. It's just not a basic, hey, can I carry a gun to work? Oh, sure you can, or no you can't. There's things involved with it. So let's read from the student handbook and first see what it says about if you're able to carry at work. The student handbook, which is being updated as well, we're still using the older one at the moment, but the legal aspects of concealed carry, it's general information about the concealed handgun statute here. And in paragraph 4 of the student handbook, we're talking about employers. And I will read. The statute does not limit or prevent a private employer from prohibiting the carrying of a concealed handgun on the premises or property of a business. Employees may also be prohibited by contractual agreement or the employer's policy manual. A sign must be posted or notice given in accordance with Penal Code Section 30-6 in order to prohibit non-employees from carrying on the employer's property, but it is not required to prohibit employees. If an individual receives notice under Section 30-6, the individual may be charged with a Class A misdemeanor. Now, I read this, and it probably went in one ear and out the other, but the first thing we need to do is to identify what is this Penal Code 30-6. And I read this all the time on this show, but we're going to read it again for purposes of this section, just so we're fresh on it. So as I go to the book here, we're going to read Penal Code 30-6, and it reads, criminal trespass by a license holder. This section creates an offense if a license holder carries a concealed handgun on the property of another with notice that either entry on the property by a license holder with a concealed handgun was forbidden, or remaining on the property with a concealed handgun was forbidden and the license holder failed to depart. This section requires oral or written notice by the owner of the property or someone with apparent authority to act for the owner. In order for a license holder to receive written notice, a card, sign, or document must contain the following language. Pursuant to Section 30-6, Penal Code, trespass by holder of a license to carry a concealed handgun, a person licensed under the authority of Subchapter H, Chapter 411 Government Code, Concealed Handgun Law, may not enter this property with a concealed handgun. If the notice is given by a sign on the property, pay attention, the sign must be in both English and Spanish, must be in contrasting colors with block letters at least 1 inch in height, and must be displayed in a conspicuous manner clearly visible to the public. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we read about, the question was, can I carry to work? Well, first of all, we have to understand the options that the employer has. The employer has a couple options. But we got to understand also our rights under concealed carry. The license holder has certain rights. The person who wants to owns property and wants to keep you out has certain rights, but they have to do it certain ways. So let's talk about this. I am, for this purposes of the conversation here, I am your employer. You're all working for me. I'm going to assume that you all have licenses to carry. But I'm one of those guys who doesn't want guns on my property. I'm scared of guns. I don't want them here. So I'm going to tell you in a memo or a post-it note or a company policy manual that I, as your employer, do not want those guns on property. And I have the right to do so because you're my employer. I can say it in those terms. But now, let's say there's some other people besides you listening. You people who are listening to me, you're my employees. Now I've got other people here I'm looking at, and I want to say that they're my customer. I'm in business. I want to make some money. I want the customer to come in and spend their money, but I don't want their gun. I don't want their gun on my property. I'm one of those kind, okay? So I have to, the state tells me to keep out a license holder. I've got to put up a sign properly, and that proper sign is Penal Code 30-6. Now, if I just stick up a sign on the window that says, hey, no guns allowed, drew a big circle with a slash mark in it, inside that circle is a picture of a gun, that can't keep a license holder out. That is not proper signage. A CHL holder, a concealed carry person, a person with a license, soon to be a license to carry, okay, you have to jump through certain hoops to get that license. And we do it, and we do it well. The person who wants to keep us out has to jump through some hoops as well. To keep us out properly, they have to post a sign. However, when it comes to employers, once again, if I'm your employer and I decide I do not want you to keep that gun on property or bring it into the building, I can just give you a memo, post-it note, or a company policy manual. Now, I can't restrict you from leaving it secured in your vehicle. So you can do that. I just don't want you coming to the property. So there you have it. Can I carry a concealed weapon when I go to work? I don't know. It all depends on your company, your policy manual, your post-it note, or your memo. If the boss says, hey, I'm for guns, go ahead and pack heat, I feel safer, then you can do it. If he gives you some type of verbal notification, or like I just said, with a memo, policy manual, post-it note, you cannot. Customers must be given proper notice under Penal Code 30-6. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, like today, after this class, or after this show, I have a class at 2:30 in Cameron. There's still time to get there. You can listen to the show while you're driving to Cameron. It's a five-hour class, starts at 2:30, $60. So, if you want to learn more on what we just talked about, get your license, come on there today. Class is at 2:30. We still have got room. We're going to move on now to the NRA section, the NRA Armed Citizens section. And I like this section because we can learn a lot of things. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page of the American Rifleman. Now, hopefully these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe, depending on the story, even get a laugh or two. It depends on the story. But I've been saying this quite a bit now. If you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. Last week, I read an article about every town. I forget that I don't have the article in front of me, but basically it's a counter to the NRA. They want this counter to the NRA to be just as big, if not better, because the NRA has got so much muscle. So the more people we get signed up for NRA, the more numbers they have, the more muscle they have to kick out bad legislation when it comes to guns. So let me get to my stories here. I've got three. And this one here is from February 2015. I read. Police arrested a 32-year-old, ooh, that's a tongue twister. Let's try that again. Police arrested a 32-year-old North Hills area man for allegedly trying to rape a woman while she was sleeping. Okay, the woman woke with a man on top of her making sexual advances. She resisted, screamed, and pulled his hair before freeing herself and running to the closet for a shotgun. The woman pointed the gun at the intruder and told him to get out of the house. He began dressing frantically and fled, but not before she recognized him as the son of a neighbor. Later, the suspect was arrested, arraigned on numerous charges, and was committed to the county jail. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is my commentary. Number one, the woman must have been a heavy sleeper, first of all. Number two, she refused to be a victim and immediately resisted. Very good. I applaud her. Three, I understand to a certain extent why the intruder wasn't able to get to her before she got to her shotgun. I mean, he was in a compromised position. I just have this mental image. It just doesn't look good. The big thing, though, is number four, the son of the neighbor. I mean, really, you can't trust anyone anymore. And they want to take our guns. I can't. There's newspaper articles and news reports of police officers doing that too. So I mean, in every field, there's always going to be bad apples. Well, I don't want to be bit by whatever's in that apple. So if I'm not going to give up my guns freely. But anyway, that's story number one. Second one. This is from February 2015 as well. San Antonio police said a would-be robber of a Subway restaurant was stopped by a man with a gun. Witnesses said the suspect demanded money from the employee and threatened to shoot. That's when a man who had been waiting outside saw what was going on, entered the establishment, drew his concealed handgun, and pointed at the suspect. The miscreant then ran away without taking anything. No injuries were reported. This is from San Antonio Express. My comments on this. Number one. I spoke to you about a scenario like this last week. I was telling you about necessity and what would you do with a crime in progress? What could you do to interfere with a crime in progress? Now, although things turned out well with the man who helped, it could have possibly gone and escalated the situation into something bad. He could have interfered with just giving details to the police. So what I'm saying is, if you see something going on, I'm not saying don't do something. I'm not saying if the situation demands that you need to go in there with your gun draw, that no, don't do it. All I'm saying is see if there's another option. He could have gone in there and caused a problem to escalate, and we could have had worse things happen. All right, let's go to number three here. Once again, this is from February. A man who bought a 13-inch serrated hunting knife to a supermarket learned that picking an argument with a stranger can be a bad idea. Police reported that the knife wielder confronted an older man for looking at him for no reason and threatened to cut him. The man asked the aggressor several times. The man asked the aggressor several times to drop the knife, but refused and charged at the older man, who had a valid permit to carry a firearm. The older man defended himself with his 9mm Glock, sending the assailant to the hospital with a groin injury. Now, my commentary is on that, ladies and gentlemen. The older gentleman had his equalizer, the gun. I know I'm getting older. I don't function as the way I used to when I was a young guy, so a gun can be a quite nice equalizer. Number two, he commanded the bad guy to drop the knife. 3, bad man refuses and charges. Older man in fear for his life stops the attack. And 4, my only critique, my good guess would be that he anticipated the shot. And the reason being is 95%, because it caused the shot to be low. And 95% of all shooter errors is anticipating the shot. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, if you take one of my classes, I can teach you how to basically not anticipate your shots and hit center mass. Now, I've got somebody on the line. Let me see what we've got. I believe they have a question. Welcome. This is Matt. This is Aaron's High Cap Adventure Program. How can I help you?
Hey, Matt. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Who's this?
This is Floyd calling from Moody. I just wanted to ask you something on the 30-06 thing. If my bank is got a sign up for a 30-06 thing, if I just ran in there to make a deposit and come back out, could they have me arrested, or would they just be able to tell me to leave
found
out I'd have?
You're talking about a bank's got a sign up, a penal code 30-06 sign is up, or you're just not sure if it's up or not?
No, it's up.
Well, if it's up, the bank is privately owned, the building there. So if they put in, it's not like a federal facility. So if they've got a 30-06 sign up there, you must abide by that sign because they had made the.
I know you got to abide by it, but I'm wondering, would they have you arrested or just tell you to leave?
Well, if they tell you to leave, if you're on there and you're caught, you can get in trouble for that. But if they tell you to leave and you stay on there, then you're like trespassing. So the best thing to do is if somebody tells you to get off their property, whatever form, fashion they find out, you just need to leave to avoid any further complications.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's what I do. I wouldn't make any trouble. But what I'm actually asking is, would that be what they'd do? Would they just call the policeman out there and have you arrested?
Well, let me ask you this. If they did that, would you stay there?
No.
Then that would probably defuse the situation right there. If you
would that defuse the situation? Okay. If anyone said anything to me about it, I'd leave. You know, no two ways about it.
Absolutely.
But
there's times when you go into a structure, you may not have seen it. They may not have posted the sign in the proper place. I know there's a couple locations where they put the sign way off to the right, way off to the left. It's not in direct view. So I argue the point. I didn't see it. So if you go in there, and then somebody for some reason finds out you have it and they tell you to leave, just leave. Once you find out that you're not supposed to be there, I would leave. Sometimes people make honest mistakes, but if you're blatantly going in and you don't care, then that's not a good way to do it. And I know that's not what you're doing. I'm just saying, but if some people do that, if you see the sign or if you don't see the signs, if you don't see the sign and you go in and somebody tells you, then leave. Otherwise, you're trespassing, and I believe that's a B misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But they're not likely to have you arrested.
Well, I can't guarantee that. I mean, you know how everybody says, I'm not an attorney, I can't give you all this information. They could if they want. They can do whatever they want. The whole point is, since you're very well aware of what we're talking about, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, how long have you had your license?
Oh, a long time.
Okay, you abide by the law, you've been paying attention, looking at the signs, you understand penal code 30-06 and all that, right?
Yeah, pretty well, yeah. But every time I run in to make a quick deposit, I don't get undressed and take my gun off and all that kind of stuff. I just run in there and do it and come on back out. You know, I'm concealed all the time. So, and nothing's ever happened either, but.
Well, bottom line, now that everybody knows, basically what you want to do is when you go to that facility, you know where it's at, okay, and you're about to go in, abide by the law, make sure you're not carrying concealed, and you won't have any further problems. So, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate the call. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick one-minute break, and when we come back, we're hoping to have Lenny here. We haven't had contact with him, so we'll see what's going on. And if not, we'll put John on early, and we will continue the show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. Today is November 7th. And we're having a great time here. Look, we were supposed to have Lenny McGill come on at this time, and he hasn't showed up yet, or called in yet, so we're kind of wondering if there's a problem there. What we're going to do is we're going to advance up the schedule a little bit and bring John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms onto the microphone here and hopefully put him on camera, and we're doing some quick adjusting here. So what I'm going to do in the meantime, I'm going to juggle over here, and there was a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment I wanted to tell you about real quick. And we're going to get to that now. I was reading an article on Consumer Reports, and the title of it said, Food Packaging Gimmicks Give Consumers an Empty Feeling. And I've been telling people this all the time. It's like, you know, you're paying the same amount of money, but you're getting less product. Well, what they're saying here is, few things are more infuriating than tearing into a bag of chips to find that it's mostly filled with air, or digging into a pint of ice cream that, on closer inspection, is only 14 ounces, according to the Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports takes a close look at some big packages and bold claims and shares what the company's consumer service representative said when it called, and the consumer would to ask, where's the rest? Where's the rest of the stuff? So I've got part of the article here, and it says, less fattening ice cream, larger package, two less bars, same price. Really? Wrote Jacqueline Wood of Salem, New Hampshire, when she sent Consumer Reports a photo of a 12 and 10 pack of Hood ice cream sandwiches, each selling for $5. According to a customer service representative, the reason Hood shrunk its sandwich count last year was to be in sync with the industry standard. I guess the industry standard is getting you less for more. But why did the company make the box bigger in the process? For that, the rep had no answer. Another one was, the chips are down. Why is it that chip bags always seem to be filled with air? So the chips can move freely in the bag to avoid breakage, said a rep for the Snyder's of Hanover. When Consumer Reports asked why the snack giant recently shrunk the size of the bag of tortilla chips from a pound to 12.5 ounces, the rep cited increased production costs. Fair enough, but the expectation that an unopened product will be only half full can make spotting downsizing even trickier. The last one I had here was, dimples aren't always cute. One way Consumer Reports has seen peanut butter and mayonnaise makers conceal the fact that you are getting less, even though you're still paying the same price, is by retaining a container's dimension, but crafting a dimple into the base. When Consumer Reports called Jif to ask about downsizing, the customer service rep confirmed that in 2012, Jif's 18-ounce container shrunk to 16 ounces as an alternative to a price increase. The most probable reason, the rep said, was the rising cost of peanuts. Bottom line is, you're paying more for less. With bikinis, I can understand it. Less is more, but with this, I just don't get it. Okay, are we all set with our mics? All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do now is I'm going to bring John Ferguson on, co-owner of Blackjack Firearms, and this guy's got some incredible stuff going on. He's got a beautiful, delicious gun here that he made for me. I had custom ordered. I'm always telling you that John's website is like a restaurant. You can pick a menu, figure out what you want, or call him personally and say, hey, I want this, that, or the other, and he builds it and makes it, and it's beautiful. So, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt.
Tell us what you got. Tell us all about it.
All right, Matt. What I have here is the pistol that you ordered. This is a AR pistol in 9mm.
Yes, sir.
Now, real quick, what makes a pistol over a rifle? A rifle has a stock, and by legal definition, a rifle has a 16-inch barrel. If you go with less than a 16-inch barrel, you either have to build a pistol, which means no buttstock, mm-hmm. or you have to do a bunch of federal paperwork and $200 tax, and wait about 9 months, and you can get permission to own a short-barreled rifle.
Gee, thanks. I think we had a quick conversation about that before the show started. I'll tell you what, though, John, because I'm so excited about that pistol you built for me, show it in the camera, let people see how delicious it is. There's a lot of features on here, ladies and gentlemen, that I wanted and that John's going to explain. And when you see it, you're going to want one yourself. So, John, hit it.
Okay. So, this pistol, like I said, it's a 9mm. The lower I had to order from a manufacturer. It's a Tucson, Arizona manufacturer, quarter circle 10 tactical. But the neat thing about this lower is, dimensionally, the magazine well is designed for a 9mm magazine.
Can I show this one in comparison?
Yes.
Hold that one up, too. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing in video land, for those of you who can't see it on video, I'm showing an AR with the regular size mag well as compared to the AR pistol I had built for myself for 9mm, and you'll notice the dimension of the mag well is much smaller to fit the Colt 9mm mags, which makes it look a lot prettier, in my opinion.
Right. Yes, it does. It makes it look like a... like a little submachine gun. Shh, can't say that. So this thing is semi-automatic. It's not a submachine gun. Semi-automatic. Okay. It's got an 8.5-inch barrel. Like I said, it's a 9mm parabellum. It's got a free-floated forearm. The forearm has a continuous rail, so where the rail from the upper receiver ends, the forearm picks up and continues straight out.
That was one of my things. I like aesthetically looking, yes.
The other thing is the forearm has the key mod holes, so that any
key
mod
rest. Explain the key mod.
Yes. There are two types of rail systems out there nowadays that are pretty standardized. You have the Magpole M-Lock style, mm-hmm. Okay? And so their new forearms are with that, and I'm starting to see other manufacturers come online with that. Now, those are pretty much going to be polymer forearms and rails and stuff like that. The key mod is for aluminum rails, and it's a system where it's just standardized the hole width and diameter between the width between the holes and the diameter of the holes and all that stuff. And it's if you look at it, it's kind of pear shaped. The holes are, and so what you can do is you loosen up the Allen nuts, mm-hmm. slide it in, push it forward, tighten it down. And you've got rails.
It's a very common design. You see that a lot with the screws for putting up electrical outlets. You'll see the screw hole just like that.
Yes.
So it sets on it. And the other thing, too, John, not only did I order a part because it was an option, the option had options,
right?
Which is pretty cool. And that's what you're talking about, how
yes.
you can add stuff to it.
So this pistol, like I said, it's got this one takes the Colt-style 9mm magazines. Now, the manufacturer of this lower also builds them that'll take Glock magazines.
Okay.
It's your option. The Glock magazines are going to go in at an angle like a pistol. The these Colt mags will go in straight. So, and the Colt mags are very reliable. They designed these back in the 80s. They're pretty much, they took the Uzi mag mm-hmm. and adjusted where the...
And that was another thing, too, when it comes to aesthetics, because we had talked about, do I want Glock mags, because I do have
right.
Glocks. But I just like the way the stick mag looks straight down as compared to having it on an angle. So
right.
that was just another personal preference
right.
of mine.
Some more things about this pistol. It's got the Rock River two-stage match trigger in it.
Which is fantastic.
Right. You've had me putting that in a lot of your guns lately.
I took them out. Yeah, there's a lot smoother snap to it as compared to the pop on the standard trigger.
It comes with the Magpul Mo Plus grip, which is the most Magpul grips are hard plastic. This one actually has a rubber coating on the outside mm-hmm. of it, so it makes it more comfortable. Comes with the Magpul flip up front and rear sight, and has the UTG. Red green dot on it.
I want to make a point on that too. I'm fanatical on having quick detach. If my optics go bad, I want them off my gun. Okay. If I have them screwed on there, it's this thing in my way. I don't want it. That's me personally. So I just flip the quick detach lever, and the thing comes off. I pop up my flip sights, and I'm good to go.
Right. Now this right now this pistol is set up where you got the pistol buffer tube and you got a foam pad on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also ordered the option of getting the SIGTAC brace.
And that's that right there.
Right. And that's the brace. It's not a stock. It's hollow in the middle. It's designed for you to put your arm in so you can hold it. But with the SIG brace on, it'll sit and it'll look...
And the way it works, you undo the Velcro strap, you
right.
open up the rubber pads down here, slip your arm through, grab your pistol grip, and then strap it down so it doesn't get so nose heavy on you. It gives you support. Right. So that's what the SIG brace is for.
So this pistol has a lot of options. If I was going to build this pistol for anybody else, you're looking at about $1,450. Now, you can order that on our webpage, or you can send me an email. Our webpage is www.bjfirearms.biz, and our email address is blackjackfirearms@gmail.com.
Now, you went through it. I want you to go through one more time, just explain all the different parts, because it comes with five mags, comes with a soft
right.
case.
Five mags, a soft case. You get both the SIG brace. You get the SIG brace on it. You can also, you'll get the foam pad, so if however you want to carry it. You've got all the... Yeah, the brace, the trigger. I mean, you're talking about a lot of upgrades.
One thing, though, make clear too on the 45 or the 9mm here or pistol calibers. You don't need the gas tube.
Right. This thing has no gas tube. It's a recoil operated, so it's going to come with a free float barrel on it, mm-hmm. which will help with your accuracy a little bit. But it's
and the bolt's a little different too, right?
The bolt is a lot different.
A lot different.
Right. It bolts a lot different. It doesn't lock into the barrel extension like a normal AR does. So this one just slides in and out. First thing I noticed is when I shotgunned this thing, when I was messing around with it, shotgunned it, that bolt just kind of slid right out on me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks great and it shoots great too. It holds a very tight group. I love it. I think it looks great. And ladies and gentlemen, just go to bjfirearms.biz. You can check out John's website. Give him a call. I'm sure the number's on there. You can give him a call. Tell him what your specific needs are. He may be able to, you know, take what you have and modify it into something even nicer. And so, John, I want to thank you for coming on. And everybody, once again, it's bjfirearms.biz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is take a one-minute break, and I believe we got Lenny here now. And we're going to get him on the air, and we'll be asking some questions and going over a lot of information. So we'll be back in 1 minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's November 7th. We're here now live, and I am excited we got Lenny connected here. And, Paul, I need some volume on my ears here.
Hello there.
Hey, Lenny, how's it going?
Good, Matt. Thank you. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. A couple of complications, but we got him squared away now. I'm glad we got you on. We'll be talking to you almost to the bottom of the hour. So,
excellent.
Lenny, what I'd like to do, though, I mean, I know you very well. I've been following you for a long time, but I want the audience to know, if they don't know already, a lot more about you. So what I'd like to do is, I got a bio from you, and I want to read it to everybody. So if you bear with me, and then we'll talk and answer some questions, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lenny McGill's fledging video career took a turn towards the firearm industry in 1983 when the dynamic young video producer secured an assignment to cover the famed Bianchi Cup for ESPN. As a testament to the quality of the work, he continued to cover the world-famous competition for ESPN for the next 13 years. Feeling he had found his niche in the video production world, Lenny had founded Gun Video, and once the internet would catch up, gunvideo.com. In total, Lenny has produced over 350 direct-to-video titles detailing virtually every aspect of the firearms industry and has sold hundreds of thousands of individual tapes and DVDs. He's also served as both writer on-camera host for many of those titles, making him a highly recognized figure throughout the firearms world. Responding to questions concerning the parts and tools he was using in some of his earliest Glock-specific videos, he recognized a need for Glock-focused retail outlet and founded the Glock Store in 1993. GlockStore.com now carries over 18,000 parts, including many that are manufactured by Lenny McGill in his own machine shop. These manufactured parts include tungsten guide rods, 3.5-pound connectors, extended controls, magazine extensions, grip enhancements, and the Pyramid Trigger, widely acknowledged as the premier aftermarket trigger for Glock handguns. As a specialist in concealed carry equipment and techniques, he recognized the need for comfortable, convenient, everyday concealed carry solution and founded Undertech Undercover in 2010. Experiencing phenomenal growth in the last 6 years and offering over 20 individual products, Undertech Undercover is now the gold standard in concealed carry undergarments. Undertech Undercover products are in worldwide daily use by agents of the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, and TSA, as well as by law enforcement officers, undercover operatives, private security personnel, and many thousands of empowered concealed carry weapon licensed citizens. Combined, the various companies owned by Lenny McGill produce over $20 million a year in sales, and yet he still takes time to personally answer customer service phone calls on a daily basis. So, with no further ado, Lenny, welcome to the program, and I want to make a quick comment about your phone calls.
Okay.
I remember a few years ago, I called up asking a question, and you pick up the phone. I go, hey, wait a minute. I know this guy. I know this voice. And so sure enough, you do pick up the phone and answer calls. So how are you? And thanks for coming on.
Well, I'm good. It's, Saturday here in San Diego, California. It's a beautiful day. It's actually not a cloud in the sky, but you'd expect that from San Diego. And, you know, business is, exciting and fun. And, we're always, looking to produce, and create new products for both the Glock world as well as our concealed carry, world.
Well, you do it quite well. Over here, it's a little bit of rain, but we need it. So it's quite a difference in the weather. But the topic that we're going to talk about has got a common thread with a lot of people. So I had sent a bunch of questions, and I always do that with my guests. I always like to send my questions so they have an opportunity to thoroughly gather their thoughts and come up with the answers. But in the meantime, when we're asking questions, giving answers, I might pop up with a few ones we haven't talked about. So with that, Lenny, and the way time is ticking, let me get into it and start asking you some questions, okay?
Okay.
You have a very distinct teaching style. It is slow, clear, thorough, and repetitive. And I want to talk about how repetition is so important when it comes to gun training, or any training for that matter. But when it comes to self-defense with a handgun, the training and mindset you prepare prior to an incident can mean a better chance of success. There have been a few times that I have felt threatened by unexpected circumstances, and because of my training, my responses were automatic, allowing me to be focused on the threat. So Lenny, can you please tell me and the audience your thoughts and ideas when it comes to training repetitively?
Well, that's a great comment, and you know, it's interesting. Firearms are unique in several ways, and one of the most important things to always consider with a firearm is safety. And you know, of course, you can shoot yourself. You know, and people do, and especially with concealed carry. So, repetitive training properly is so important. You know, the simple basic rules of keeping your finger off the trigger, keeping the muzzle pointed in a safe direction at all times. Knowing when the gun is loaded and unloaded. When you're working on a firearm, you keep all the ammunition off the table. I mean, simple little things that are so important because the firearm is, you know, a deadly weapon. It's really important to have repetition, and I believe that repetition is the true foundation of being safe. You'll notice that when you go to a gun show, who the true professionals are who handle a gun. And no matter, you know, when you see someone pick a gun up, and no matter who they are, you know instantly whether they have the mindset and they've had the training to be safe with a firearm. And so typically, you know, the average person who doesn't have a lot of skill will pick a gun up and put their finger in the trigger guard and you know, kind of point it and say, wow, this is cool. They may not point it at you, but they've already, you know, they don't know if it's loaded or not. They assume it's unloaded, in fact, you know, which is always the opposite. Where a professional, someone who's trained and someone who's been repetitive and taken the time to really in put these skills in his mind, he will actually pick the gun up and rack back the slide, verify that it's unloaded, pull the trigger in a safe direction. And if he hands the gun back to me, I'll do it right there in front of him. And if I hand the gun back to him 2 seconds later, he'll do it again.
That's
it's
right.
It's just a repetitive thing. So, I cannot stress the importance of being able to learn proper skills and safe skills and repeat. Whether now, you know, of course you can carry that out to, you know, shooting skills as well. You know, as we've talked about, you know, in a lot of the videos we do about shooting fast and accurately and being able to index the site and being able to look at the site. But I really want to stress that, you know, the safety in the site is so important for people, especially anybody listening in the audience who's new to firearms. You know, learn the safe techniques. Always keep your finger off the trigger. Always inspect the gun. Make sure it's unloaded. Never point the gun at anybody. Never, ever. Even if it, you know it's unloaded, never point the gun at anything you don't want to shoot.
So. I cannot agree with you enough. I mean, my gun shop and gun range, I have, you always got your standard clientele that come there all the time, and then you always have guests or new people driving by. And the ones who are there all the time understand and know, because that's what I do and train. And so if they'll see somebody faltering in those aspects, it's cool to watch somebody else say, hey, this is how you should do it. And then that person learns, and it continues to spread and be shared with a whole bunch of other people.
And you learn by training, too. You learn by teaching. So the more you teach, the more it becomes ingrained in your own mind.
That's right. Now, yeah. Also, the part I was talking about, though, in repetitive training, not only what you were saying, but when it comes to like drawing from your holster from concealment, just being aware of how to handle yourself in a situation by training, drawing the gun, being able to focus on a different targets. In that respect, it's so imperative to train.
Well, yeah, you know, the drawing a holster from a concealed carry, drawing a gun from a concealed carry holster is not a natural skill. It's something you definitely have to develop and build up over time. It does take practice. I always say in the videos that if you are going to carry a gun concealed, you need to spend time at home in a dry fire environment drawing and manipulating the firearm and the holster before you take the gun out into the real world. You have to develop a skill set that is basically dexterity skills, not shooting skills. This is just being able to handle the gun properly, draw it safely, be able to present it safely to the target, and then put it back in the holster safely before you even introduce any kind of ammunition. So it is important that you get, you know, I'm going to say, in my mind, I would say that, you know, the average person should spend at least 7 full hours and different days, you know, practicing in a dry fire environment before they take a gun out. That would be 7 full days, 1 hour per day, just handling the gun, putting it in a holster, wearing it around the house, being comfortable with it. No ammunition is involved whatsoever. And drawing the gun when you have to, looking at yourself in the mirror, making sure it doesn't print, making sure that you feel comfortable with it, and as well as being able to draw and present the gun to the target.
Fantastic. Lenny, in my classes that I teach, concealed carry, I'm always asking the student on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being I'll have the gun on me on or about my person all the time, or 1 is I'm just doing this for giggles. And I ask them to write their number down on a piece of paper. And the reason I ask them that question is, later on in the course when we're handling firearms, I'm going to say, look, your mental perception, if it's a 10, I want to carry it all the time, but your ability to run the gun is a 2, 3, or 4, somebody's going to get hurt. We've got to get an understanding of that your ability to run the gun is only a 3, so your mental perception should be, hey, I want to carry it, but I'm not prepared to carry it. I need to practice like you're saying. So repetition is extremely important.
Yes, I agree 100%. And, you know, it's, again, it's something you can do at home in a dry fire environment, no ammunition whatsoever. It's really about the dexterity and manipulation skills of handling the gun in a safe direction. And that's where you practice keeping your finger off the trigger and pointing the gun and keeping the gun pointing in a safe direction before you get any ammunition involved.
Very good. Lenny, let's move on to another question here. I'm fanatical when it comes to picking the proper handgun. My students ask me all the time, what's the best gun to carry? And I tell them there's a lot that goes into that selection. You've got mindset, physical ability, hand, palm, finger length, finances, caliber, and reasons for the handgun. There's more to it as well. But can you put your years of experience to this question and maybe give the listeners a checklist of things to think about when it comes to selecting a handgun?
Well, you're right about that. You know, there are several qualifications, and you know, one of the things that I run into all the time, especially with our concealed carry clothing, is the size of the gun and the size of the individual. So, if a guy calls up and he says, "Gee, I've got a Beretta 92S, which is a rather large gun, as you know, and most of your audience knows, and I want to carry it in a one of your concealed carry shirts." And I say to the guy, I said, "Well, how big are you?" He goes, "Well, you know, I'm about 5'8", 160 pounds. I say, "Well, do you think the gun's actually going to fit there by itself? You know, forget about the shirt. It's not this, the shirt's not a cloaking device. You know, it's a carry device." So he goes, "Well, let me see." He puts it on his arm. "Well, not really." I said, "Well, it's not really going to work. You need a gun that's going to fit your body as well as the type of carry you want to use. So, whereas, you know, a big guy, a big 6'4", 280-pound man can carry a larger gun, a smaller person, man or woman, needs to carry a smaller gun because it's going to be more comfortable. And then you get into, well, what kind of caliber and what kind of gun? Should it be a revolver or should it be an automatic? Those are great questions, and the automatics, you know, take a little bit more skill level than the revolvers. However, the automatics are flatter and sometimes smaller than the revolvers and will carry better and will feel better against your body. So, you know, people have to kind of think about, you know, the type of carry they want to use, if they're using an outside the waistband holster or an inside the waistband holster, if they're using a clothing item like the concealed carry shirts we sell or the shorts we sell, or if they're using a purse or if they're using a briefcase, or, you know, what kind of carry they're going to do, and kind of tailor it to their body. And then, you know, of course, you have to select the right kind of carry option, whether it be a holster or a shirt or a purse or whatever. So there's so many options there. But I think, you know, in my mind, I always tell people that, you know, let's think about, you know, caliber first. And most people, you know, think, well, 9mm, and certainly nowadays 9mm ammunition, self-defense 9mm ammunition, is powerful enough and effective enough to be good in a self-defense environment. Old school guys are going to say, hey, 45. And I, you know, I'm always a big believer, the bigger the hole, the better the result.
That's right.
But, you know, I mean, a 45 is a big gun, too. So now you get into the weight of the ammo versus the weight of the 9mm ammo. And the size of the gun, again, you know, everything's a little bit bigger on a 45. So carrying a 45 concealed is not necessarily the best option for certain people. You know, nowadays, I see a lot of guys starting to really turn to the 10mm because it's such an effective self-defense round. It's a big gun. But the 10mm is really starting to gain a lot of popularity with some of our law enforcement and military-style customers because it is truly effective. So, you know, from a caliber standpoint, I'm still a firm believer in a 9mm because I can carry a lot of rounds. It's lightweight ammo, but it's very effective with some of the new 9mm hollow-point ammunition. So that's been kind of proven out. As far as the type of gun, you know, we sell Glocks. Glocks are very flat. And they do conceal well, but there's a variety of other guns out there. You know, the new Glock 43 is just a huge hit because it is such a concealable gun. It's a 9mm, super flat, super thin, super lightweight. We've had, I mean, we sell everyone we get. We sell a lot of holsters for that particular gun, a lot of pieces and parts for that particular gun. I believe that will be the most popular Glock in the future. So I think, you know, again, people have to think about their lifestyle. An executive who's, you know, in an office is different than a construction worker or a retail employee who, you know, needs to carry a gun.
I think it's very important, too, that somebody who's novice needs to find somebody who is not novice and has proven him or herself. I've had people come into my shop, my classes, basically saying, well, I got this revolver because the guy behind the counter told me I'm a woman, I need to have a revolver, and I just want to pull my hair out. So it's definitely, there's definitely a process in picking the right handgun, and just saying you're a woman for a revolver, that's not it. So find somebody, you know, everybody, that knows what they're doing or whatever, but just don't go based on you're a woman.
Well, yeah,
or a guy.
That's kind of old school thought, you know, the women and the revolver thing, because it's easier to operate and easier to manipulate. But, you know, I will say this, that there are some revolvers with a 12-pound trigger pull that are going to be very difficult for certain women to pull.
That's right, absolutely.
You know, and the other thing about a revolver, and, you know, my wife has a little Lady Smith & Wesson little 442, super lightweight. She hates to shoot it because it's a snake bite. It stings your hand, you know, and I don't like shooting it either. It's a, ooh, ow, bounce, you know. I mean, the revolver, it's all that vibration is in your hand. The automatics, a lot of the vibration is taken up by the action of the gun itself.
Right.
So they're a little bit more comfortable to shoot, especially the new polymer automatics.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you wrote all those notes down. Lenny, let's go on. I'm a self-defense handgun instructor primarily. And because of that, two main focuses on training are proper grip and point shooting. I can't tell you how much your videos, I was a good shot, but focusing on your videos, and I'm talking here at the moment, just enhanced my shooting abilities tremendously. But anyway, you and I both know that the trick to fast shooting is having a proper grip, because proper grip almost automatically lines up your sights, enabling you to have a quick, accurate shot. Can you elaborate on this further, please?
Well, yes, you are correct, and that is certainly the foundation of accuracy. Now, let's talk about accuracy real quick. Accuracy is consistency. So I like to make the analogy of a guy, of a professional basketball player. Watch a whole bunch of them, you know, watch a basketball game, and you'll see them shoot free throws in a variety of different ways. Some guys have even shot them underhanded. Some guys shoot them one-handed. Some guys are got the left foot in front, the right foot in front. Now, you got all kinds of different techniques. It doesn't matter as long as the ball goes in the hoop. Accuracy. So we, as handgun instructors, you know, sometimes want to impose our thoughts on people and say, hey, you have to do it this way. Well, to a certain degree, you do. But everybody's body's a little different, so they've got to find their sweet spot and the way that their gun and their eye lines up. And you're correct. The grip is the foundation of that accuracy. As you reach for the gun and grip the gun, if you can be more consistent with your grip, you're going to be more consistent with your accuracy. And if you can train yourself to grip the gun, and as you present the gun out to the target, the sights are, here's the key word, are pre-aligned, so that you automatically are lining the sights up with the presentation. So you don't have to put the gun out there and then kind of dangle it around and say, where is it? You automatically line them up with the grip, so that as soon as you actually present the gun to the target, you know the sights are pre-aligned.
That's right.
And you can then execute a fast shot and an accurate shot because your consistency of grip is there, and you practice it. That's the repetition we talked about earlier. If you practice that and dry fire with that over and over and over again, you will find that you will be extremely accurate and much faster.
You know, that brings up a point. Lasers. I'm not into lasers. They have their purpose, but people who have lasers want to use lasers, and they try to beat the laser shot and not stay focused. That's why no sights for me is the best thing. I don't need a stinking laser for a close point shooting. It comes in handy for certain applications, but it's just an analogy to say if people don't focus in on, if they don't have the proper grip and bring it into your line of sight, if they don't understand that concept, they're going to be wasting too much time taking aim on the target, and you don't have time when it comes to shooting in self-defense.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Let me to say this. We actually ran an experiment one year at one of the USPSA matches that I covered, the pistol tournaments. And we shot the match with iron sights, and we shot the same with lasers. And everybody was faster with iron sights, because everybody's looking downrange trying to see the laser, and
exactly,
it's not that easy. You know?
That's right.
So now imagine now that there's a bad guy target, you know, that you're trying to put a laser on, and he's not going to stand there, and you may not see that laser. So relying upon a laser is not a very good option for self-defense in my mind.
I agree. Lenny, since time is ticking, I want to jump to this real quick. Besides the GlockStore.com, and McGills.com, and GunVideo.com, and MastersOfConcealment.com, there is UndertechUndercover.com. That site promotes undergarments that conceal weapons. How did this come about? Was it a spur-of-the-moment thing? Did you personally have the need for this, made it yourself, and thought, hey, it worked great, and say, people need this, and then you started producing it? How'd that work?
Well, you know, there's actually a funny story. I was, doing a lot of concealed carry videos in the early 1990s, and I have two sons. They're older now. They're grown up, actually, 21 and 24. And I was doing a bunch of concealed carry work and really, you know, getting into the concealed carry world and was looking for some concealed carry options, and we started producing the belly band, which is a really great concealment option because it's so convenient, so inexpensive, and so versatile. And then I was coaching football for the kids at that time, and you know, Under Armour just came out. Under Armour shirts were a big rage. All the kids wanted to wear them, and so you know, they were compression shirts, and we bought some compression shirts, and I bought some for myself when we were there. And my boys were young; they were, you know, 8 and 12 years old, and so all the friends, everybody's wearing Under Armour. And one day, I had the shirt on. And I was, you know, I had a gun in my hand. I just put the gun under the shirt, and I said, wow, that could be interesting, you know, I mean, because it just compressed it to my body. So we refined that concept, built a shirt with a holster on it, and I kind of demoed that and played with it for a while and thought, hey, this is really cool. And then I, you know, showed it to some people, and they wanted to buy one, and so we, you know, we had a seamstress make a couple, and then we put it on a catalog, and all of a sudden, we started getting orders for it, so we, you know, we started making them, and then one thing kind of led to another, and now we do over 10,000 shirts a month, and we sell shorts, and we have jackets with concealment pockets, and we have all kinds of other things. The newest product we have now is a ladies' legging. You know, just like a Lululemon legging or one of the Nike leggings that they wear now, with built-in holsters. It's a brand new item. It's going to be super hot.
That sounds really interesting. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, what's really interesting about this business is that the female concealed carry side for women is half of the business. Where in the gun business, usually women are about 15%. But the concealed carry side, women are really looking for an option in how to carry a gun. You know, the traditional gun belt and holster doesn't really work for them. It's not fashionable, not comfortable, it's not stylish. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't work with their wardrobe. So all the concealed carry clothing we have, the shirts and the shorts, and now these new leggings, will fit into their normal wardrobe. They can wear what they normally wear and carry a small handgun, small to mid-size handgun, concealed. So it's a really an amazing business. We're selling product all around the world, and like you said earlier, we do sell to FBI, CIA, Secret Service, DEA, the whole alphabet soup is up and down the place, and we've got embassies wearing them. We've got in major corporations, like Exxon and GE and all these big corporations have these security guards on their staff that are in the C level up there in the higher areas, and a lot of those guys are wearing this stuff because they wear a suit and tie. They wear this.
Sure.
They just look like they're one of the executives, but they're actually ex law enforcement and they're there. So it's a pretty good business. We've been doing really well with it, and it's under techundercover.com, and it's actually done very well. And we're looking forward to continued growth of that product.
Well, Lenny, we've got maybe about 45 seconds left, and I apologize for the screw-up earlier, but we're going to have to cut it short. Within the last 45 seconds, is there anything you want to say, anything you want to promote? But I truly appreciate you coming on. It's been a joy to talk to you.
Well, this is a tremendous opportunity to say hello to you two and to meet you again on the radio, and I want to thank you and thank your audience for listening. It's just a great time. If people want to know more about us, certainly go to Glockstore.com. That's the major website we have right now, Glockstore.com, and then UndertechUndercover.com. Those are our two main websites that feature videos. You can see me on video, as well as all the products we either manufacture and or sell.
If you haven't seen him before, ladies and gentlemen, he's very thorough, very calm, very cool, collected. He teaches very well. So, Lenny, I appreciate you again. Thank you for coming on. Good luck with everything you do, and hopefully we can get you on again, okay?
All right, Matt, thank you, and hope to see you at the SHOT Show in January in Las Vegas.
Okay, you take care, buddy.
All right, sir. Goodbye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start to wrap this up here, but I wanted to do a few reminders here. Don't forget, I've got a CHL class today at 2:30. If you leave right now, you could probably make it. I still got seats available. This is very important, too. Friday, the 13th. Yes, the 13th. Is our next pistol competition. Check out aaronsgunshop.com's homepage and go to the competition link. The prize is going to be a very nice American Tactical Uzi rifle and .22 long rifle with the fake suppressor. Take a look at it. You should like it. Saturday the 14th at the Bell County Expo Center, I will be doing a live remote at the Real Gun Show, and my special guest will be Bell County Sheriff Eddie Lang. You won't want to miss that, so be sure to come out there at the Real Gun Show on November 14th. Also, don't forget our special holiday gun buying program has begun. All guns are at cost, plus a $30 handling charge. Call or email me for more details. Email address is aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up the show. If you have any questions, just give us a call at the gun shop, or like I said, email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Until next week at the gun show at the Bell County Expo Center, keep your powder dry, and God bless y'all. Thank you.